Pastor Jack. Well, we're starting our Christmas series today. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about what he was called. He shall be called. Now, to start off, I thought it'd be kind of fun to start off with this question. Who's expecting a child soon? Another one. Fantastic. Who's recently given birth to a child?
They're not here right now.
That was really recent. Hi, Belle. You know, when you think about the naming process, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Naming a child can be very challenging. There's a few lists. I wrote them down here. There's the X list. These are names you don't like because there's the names of the people you probably don't like. And you're thinking, we're not naming our child that. And then there's the family and friends list. This is a friendly list. You know, we might name our child after our father, mother, uncle, aunt, whatever. And then there's the Christian list. You can tell when Tammy and I got saved by the names of our children. So our firstborn was Jacqueline, not really a Bible name. Then we got saved. Then we had Jacob, Matthew, and Caleb. And then the way it sounds is important, you know, because you kind of bounce that off of each other, and you put this first name with your last name. How does that sound? And sometimes the middle name can kind of mess that up. But there were a few families that evidently weren't thinking about this when they named their children. The Mann family named their daughter Anita. Anita Mann. That the Wright family named their daughter Eileen. And the Price family named their daughter Lois. And then there's our famous Texas governor, Jim Hogg. This is a true story. Named his daughter Ima. In fact, this week, just for fun, you ought to go online and Google Ima Hogg. She led an incredible life and did a lot for the state of Texas. And the story goes that she started using her initial to eliminate a lot of the flack she got. So a lot of times she would sign things with I Hog. Today I'm starting a series because I think meanings of names is important as well. Who in here named your child because the name had a certain meaning that you really loved and wanted to proclaim over your son or daughter? And that's what happened many years ago, when the prophet Isaiah spoke this in chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born. Now he's prophetically forecasting the birth of Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, here are the four names that we're going to look at this month, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Four names assigned to Jesus. And many of us have heard that scripture. We hear it almost every Christmas. But we're going to take some time each week and unpack each of the names to really find out the message or the meaning behind that name. And as we do today, we're going to look at the first one, Mighty Counselor. As we do, I hope it blesses you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, who is and will always be a mighty counselor for us. I pray today that we would have ears to hear what you tell us about Jesus, our mighty counselor, and that we would lean into that. And from this day forward, it might have a deeper meaning than it ever has before. And that we would praise you, Jesus, this month for Christmas, because you are a mighty counselor. And so minister in power to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about Wonderful Counselor. Those two English words in the Hebrew, there's two Hebrew words. The first one is Pele, and the second one is Yats. Pele yachts. Pele means beyond understanding. In other words, too wonderful for words. And yachts is to advise or to guide or to counsel. That's what a counselor does. So Jesus is our Pele yachts. He's our wonderful counselor. And I love the way he's described in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. This speaks about him being our high priest. Here's what it says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Isn't that what a counselor does? He talks to us, he listens to us, and then he tries to empathize or sympathize with our problems, you know, to hear what we're going through so he can help. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Now that verse encourages me because it tells me that Jesus knows what I'm going through when I'm having a tough time. Now there's other people that do. We go to other people because they can help us and identify with us. But Jesus, more than anybody, has been through every temptation we've ever gone through. He's experienced pain beyond probably what we will ever have to experience. He's suffered more than we would probably ever have to suffer. And so why not go to him? Why not go to him as our chief counselor, as our wonderful counselor, our Pele Yachts? And because he has been through everything, he's the best one we can go to. It goes on, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because he's been through already what we might be going through or what we will go through in the future. He's a great counselor that we can go to. And some of you, if you are honest today, you would say, I'm going through right now what I'm going through. I'm in a time of need. Might be a financial need, might be a relationship need, might be a spiritual need, an emotional need. We all have needs, right? The good news is I know someone who can help you because he's been through what you're going through. He's our wonderful counselor. Not only will he help you get through what you're going through, the Bible says he came for the sick. In the New Testament, there's a story about one of his disciples, Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. At the time that he met Jesus, probably running with the wrong crowd. Probably was drinking a little bit, maybe cussing a little bit. Jesus comes into his life and starts hanging out with Matthew, and people go, why would you hang out with a guy like that? And I love Jesus' answer. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, he says, Jesus answered them and said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the truth is, because of sin, we all are sick in some way.